So the reading is from Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6 through to 15. And it can be found on page 1184. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him.
Marlene, thank you very much for reading. That was very kind of you. Good evening. If we haven't met yet, my name is Tony, and I'm a member of the church family here in St. John's. Now, before we start looking at this wonderful passage from Colossians, let me start by praying the prayer that Paul prays at the beginning of the letter. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, please fill us with a knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of you, our Lord, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of you. Amen. Now, as Brian kindly explained to us a couple of weeks ago, this prayer is actually a wonderful guide to enable us to understand the structure of Paul's letter to the Colossians. The start of the prayer, filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, is beautifully unpacked by Paul in chapter 1 and the first five verses of chapter 2. Where Paul shows us who Jesus is, what he came to do, that Jesus is supreme and he is all we need. Now, in the passage that Marlene has just kindly read to us, we move on to the second section of Paul's prayer. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, walking in Jesus, growing and being transformed by him, rejecting anything that adds to the gospel, and striving to become more like Jesus, fully pleasing to the Lord and bearing fruit in every good work. So keep your Bibles open with me at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. I just have to say, personally, it has been absolutely thrilling to have spent time in this passage, because what we discover in these precious few verses really does shape our Christian lives. But let me start by asking us a personal question. Are we growing in Jesus, or are we actually backsliding, drifting from our love of him. Christians are either growing in Jesus or we are falling away. Churches are either growing spiritually or they are starting to decline. So the question is, how do we grow as Christians? How do we become stronger in, more passionate about, and increasingly sure of our faith? We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Now what? What is the next step? Well, these vitally important questions are on Paul's mind as we continue our series in Colossians. A letter written by Paul to a newly formed church in Colossae with the aim to help them to keep growing and to keep going in Jesus. Now, if you look at me at verse 6, you can see that it starts with a therefore. Now, when a verse starts with a therefore, it is imperative to have a careful look at what Paul has already said. Now, in chapter 1, Paul has reminded the Colossians that they are genuine Christians. They are a true church who have heard the true gospel. And verse 4 of chapter 1 actually says they exhibit the marks of a Christian church. Faith, love, and hope. Faith in Christ Jesus, love for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for them in heaven. Well, if you have a look at the verse preceding our passage, chapter 2, verse 5, this says, "For though I, Paul, am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and firmness of your faith in Christ." Wow, what an affirmation of the believers in Colossae. They're in good order. They have a firmness of faith in Jesus. But how will the church continue in good order and firm in their faith? They are certainly a vulnerable church, a small church, and they've got many false teachers starting to circle around, trying to deceive them. But at the time of this letter, Paul is rejoicing and thanking God for their faith and good order. But are they one crisis? Maybe are they one false teaching? Maybe one storm of life? I'm actually just giving up? How will they and we, that's us, St. John, stay stable and steadfast, not shifting from the gospel? Now in verse 6 and 7 we have the big reveal. And it reads, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And incredibly, this is the first command in the letter to do anything. And it's maybe not what you were expecting. And certainly, I'm sure, a surprise to many in Colossae. The big reveal is that the key to growth is just to continue in Christ Jesus as Lord. So the first headline is, continue with Jesus to grow and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The way you walk in Jesus, the way you grow and make progress, is to stick with Christ Jesus as Lord. Because the day we became a Christian was the day we had everything we needed to keep going. The day we put our faith in Jesus was the day we were filled and made complete in him. The day we made Jesus our King was the day all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were available to us. The way on is the same as the way in. Nothing new. The way we came to faith is exactly the same way we will grow. And that is only in Jesus. So let us unpack these awesome verses. As you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in Jesus. Now, when Paul says receiving Christ Jesus, he is talking about receiving the message of Jesus that was preached to them by Epaphras. And that is the gospel that Paul proclaimed, that Jesus died for their sins, rose from the dead, defeating death, and ascended into heaven. They receive that message by trusting that Jesus' death saves them from the punishment they deserve for rejecting God. But actually, it was more than that. They received Christ Jesus as their Lord, which means not just believing Jesus, but submitting to his rule over the whole of their lives. Have we received Christ Jesus as our Lord? As believers, we need to gratefully receive Christ Jesus as Lord. And that is a king who rules over every aspect of our lives. Now, Paul, after reminding the Colossians of when they first received Christ Jesus as Lord, says, continue to walk in him, recognizing that both our salvation and our continued walk are actually totally dependent on Jesus. Before we go too far, please remember that when Paul uses the term walking, it is in the light of chapter 1, verse 10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. So walking in Jesus actually describes the way we conduct our whole life, how we behave, our ambitions, our family life, our all. And it's not just knowledge, but it's actually living in a way that is pleasing to Jesus every minute of every day. How does Paul say we can actually achieve this? Well, amazingly, the illustrations he reaches for are trees and buildings, which are not famous for walking, and actually world-renowned for actually staying in the same place. The path to spiritual maturity is we grow by sticking with Jesus. Four beautiful pictures: rooted, built up, established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. These are four key principles to living a life in Jesus. So let's take them one at a time. Rooted. Paul asks us to consider the wonderful image of a tree which flourishes, producing good fruit. And we all know that the reason for this, it is deeply rooted in good soil with a plentiful supply of life-giving water. Now, I'm sure some of you are like me. I've been looking around my garden and I've noticed a number of shrubs that, because of the hot summer, have actually died. And ultimately, their roots were not deep enough or extensive enough to live through such a testing and difficult time. Paul says what we need is deeper roots into Jesus, our living and sustaining water. Don't move on to something else. Actually, move down deeper roots and then grow up. Built up in Jesus. That's another wonderful illustration. A building does not wander around looking for better foundations. No, it stays put on its foundations and then slowly starts to rise up. As Christians, our foundation is Jesus. So don't go wandering around searching for different foundations. As Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 reminds us, continue in the faith, stable and steadfast like a building, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Put your roots down into Jesus and grow up in him. Christian growth can only be found in Jesus. Rooted and built up in Jesus. What does that actually mean to you and me? Maybe it means immerse yourself in the Bible, join a growth group, Spend time in prayer. Come to church and maybe the prayer meeting. Study the Bible individually and corporately. I certainly, personally, waste so much time on other things. But every minute spent with Jesus means deeper roots. So I plead with you, don't waste any opportunity to be rooted in Jesus. And when we are, we will then grow up by walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. In the next few weeks, we'll be looking at chapters 3 and 4, and Paul will describe what it actually looks like to be grown up in certain situations. Rooted, built up in Jesus, established in the faith, just as you were taught. Keep believing the gospel that Epaphras taught you. The pressure on the Colossian church was actually to add to the gospel, well, to add to Jesus some Old Testament rituals and practices. But Paul implores them to stick with Jesus just as they were taught. Established in the faith. That is sticking to the gospel that they had received. Knowing Jesus is the top priority. The better we know Jesus, the more we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Knowing Jesus is the foundational step to walking in Christ. And the last three words at the end, abounding in thanksgiving, but so essential to our growth in Jesus. Because as we abound in thanksgiving to Jesus, it will stop us moving away from him. If we are overflowing with thankfulness to Jesus, the only place to go is back to Jesus for more of the same. So let us never forget and be abundantly grateful to Jesus, who has lavished on all of us the forgiveness of sins, so reconciling us with God. How can we not be abounding in thankfulness? How can we ever contemplate moving on to something other than Jesus? So stick with Jesus to grow and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Paul now then moves on to his second command, and this is in the way of a serious warning. Don't be kidnapped. Don't be kidnapped. Continue with Jesus to prevent capture by empty alternatives. Continue with Jesus to prevent capture by empty alternatives. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Do we individually, and as a church, does St. John's take this warning seriously? Well, we should. Remember that the Colossae church, when this letter was written, were in good order and firm in faith. Maybe tonight, that's where we think we are as individuals and as a church. But Paul says, danger, danger, high voltage, high risk of being taken captive. Watch out for anything that will take you away from Jesus. The verse gives a clear summary of what is on offer. It might appear wise, but ultimately it is empty and deceitful. Why? Because it's according to human tradition or to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. So for the Colossae believers, they had started well. But false teachers had come amongst them, teaching them that actually, well, to be super spiritual, to be really forgiven, they needed to move on from Jesus alone and start to add and obey Jewish laws and man-made rituals to enable them to grow. Danger, danger. Growth can only be found in Jesus. If you look for growth anywhere else, even in Old Testament God-given rituals, then you will be taken captive. Putting your roots in anything else than Jesus is lethal. And I don't know about you, but this is a massive warning for us. Where do we look for growth and fulfillment? Individually and as a church, we are facing the same pressures. Individually, we are attracted to many things the world offers that actually promise fulfillment and maybe a better experience. While as a church, we clearly see the drive to add to Jesus with human ideas and revisions to the gospel, which are not according to him. The question we must all ask is it more of Jesus or something else? Does what's on offer take us deeper into Jesus, or does it move us away from him? Paul from verse 9 gives us three reasons why we must stick with Jesus and why the very best alternatives, individually or corporately, to Christ are actually empty and ultimately dangerous. As Christians, you have the fullness of God's presence. As Christians, you have been raised with Jesus. And as Christians, God has made us alive because our enemies have been defeated. So firstly, in Jesus, you have the fullness of God's presence. Verses 9 to 10. In Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. We who are in Jesus amazingly experience the fullness of God's presence with us. This is temple language, reminding us that in the Old Testament, God's presence filled the temple. But now God's glory dwells fully in Jesus. And get your heads around this. If we are united in Jesus and united to him through faith, then we are also fully filled with God's presence. So Paul says, what are you doing? What are you doing looking somewhere else for fulfillment? Please stick with Jesus, who has already filled you to the brim. Secondly, with Jesus, we have been raised with him. Verse 11, in him, that's in Jesus, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. This is stunning. Paul tells us that in Jesus we have died. We have been buried with him and we've been raised with him through faith. So what Jesus went through, his death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and then his resurrection, is all credited to us. Nothing more needs to be done. Jesus has achieved it all. The false teachers in Colossae were saying to be truly devoted, you need to add to Jesus by being circumcised. But Paul tells the Colossae believers that this is empty deceit. You false teachers, think you have shown commitment against the flesh by cutting a bit of your body. But when Jesus died, he was completely cut off. His body was mutilated beyond recognition on the cross. And the full judgment of God against sin was poured out on Jesus. And he was totally cut off and then discarded in the tomb. You false teachers, you think you've demonstrated a commitment against the flesh? You're total amateurs. The knife hasn't gone deep enough. Whereas for us, for a person trusting in Jesus alone, they have been included in his circumcision. That is his death on the cross. There was no need for the physical sign, because it just pointed to the reality that has now taken place in Jesus' death. And there are actually even more riches in these verses, because in Jesus, Christians have been buried with him as pictured in baptism, and we've been raised with him through faith and we are made alive with him. Listen, stick with Jesus, who has raised you into new life in him. We have the fullness of God's presence. We have been raised with him. And thirdly, all our enemies have been defeated by Jesus' death on the cross. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it on the cross. So our double enemies of sin and the exclusion from being part of God's people have been totally defeated at the cross. We were dead in our sins. Our sin meant we were separated from God. We were with no hope. Enemy number one. Enemy number two, we were dead because of the uncircumcision of our flesh. The Colossae believers, like us, are Gentiles and not Jewish. So they were viewed and treated as outside of God's holy people. The uncircumcision of their flesh was a physical sign that they were not part of God's people and they were outside of God's promises to the people of Israel. But wait, even with the circumcision, the people of Israel were dead. But Paul says in verse 11, it is only the circumcision of Christ that can make dead sinners alive. It is only by Jesus' death on the cross that dead sinners can be made alive. Paul then goes on to remind us of how we are made alive through Jesus' death on the cross. Firstly, if you follow the passage, God has forgiven us all our trespasses. All our sins are forgiven through Jesus. Note the word all. Complete forgiveness. Don't go looking anywhere else. No. All complete forgiveness is found in Jesus. We do not need to go for anything extra. And Jesus has also cancelled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. The debt was cancelled. Or another way of putting it, the debt was obliterated. The record of debt no longer exists. The slate has been wiped clean. The record of all our sins, past, present and future, has been completely removed. And this Jesus set aside by nailing it to the cross. As you know, there is a price to pay for our sins, and they must be legally punished. A punishment for our rebellion and rejection has to be settled. Now, when a Roman crucified a criminal, they would nail on a placard containing a written accusation of the man's crime for everyone to read as a justification for his punishment. And when Jesus was crucified, Pilate mockingly put up a notice saying, King of the Jews. But Paul is saying in this passage, look closer. Yeah, look closer. Because what was actually nailed to the cross was the full and total list of all my sins and your sins nailed with Jesus to his cross. And they went with him to the tomb to be buried there forever, while Jesus rose, having fully met the divine demands that the price for our sin is paid. Jesus, through his death on the cross, has fully and totally paid the penalty our sin deserves. You have the fullness of God's presence. We have been raised in him. Our enemies have been defeated by Jesus' death on the cross. And finally, have a look at verse 15. Paul further strengthened us to continue in Jesus. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. On the cross, Jesus was fully victorious. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, whether earthly or spiritual. Defeated because the debt with its legal demands had been paid. And so their hold on us has been smashed. These amazing truths, that we have the fullness of God's presence, that we have been raised with Jesus and saved because our enemies have been defeated, should fill us with confidence to continue and grow in Jesus. Continue and grow in Jesus. And not to be taken captive by empty alternatives. You, like me, will continue to struggle with sin, and we will fail to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus. But surely none of us would be so foolish to leave the victorious Jesus and join the defeated. So please, don't look elsewhere. And please, don't move from Jesus. We grow by going deeper into Jesus, continuing to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And we grow as individuals and as a church by taking the warning of not being taken captive seriously. We all need to fix our eyes on Jesus, on whom all the riches of full assurance and understanding are found.